God is good. God is great. God is the giver of every great gift, especially our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God that serves as the basis for our guest preacher's message today comes from three different chapters of the Bible, Matthew chapter 1, chapter 2, and Luke chapter 2. I won't be reading all of these verses, but I would like to read little sections of each of them, starting with Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Then chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Dropping down to verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. Verses 19 and 20. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." And finally, Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. "This isn't how I planned it, God. My baby born in a barn, my wife giving birth with only the stars and the animals to hear her cries of pain. This isn't how I imagined it, Lord. I imagined family and friends clustered inside the house and gathered outside the door. Loud shouts of joy when the cries of my baby were heard, slaps on the back and just joy, unadulterated joy at the birth of my son. This isn't how I thought it would be. Good morning. I'm Joseph. I'm the second to the last of your guest preachers this Advent and Christmas season here at St. Paul's. Because of my somewhat unassuming personality and the fact that God gave me a very unique role in the Nativity, I'm sometimes called the unsung hero of the Nativity. But did you know that I'm not quoted once in the entire scripture? I'm not the hero here. Jesus is the hero. He's the one who was born to my beloved Mary. He's the one whose birth you are celebrating today. So if you don't mind, I prefer being called the silent saint of Christmas. And in the few minutes that we have together this morning, I'd like to share with you why. Can we start with a prayer? O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, their great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, O Lord Emmanuel. Amen. Everything began when I was a young carpenter in Nazareth of Galilee. I was engaged to a beautiful young woman named Mary. Both of us had grown up in this little town of Nazareth, a place where everybody knew everybody else and what everybody else was doing. Both of us were from ordinary Jewish families, and we were expectantly awaiting God to fulfill his promise to send the world's Messiah. And we were distinctly related as well, both of us being descendants of the great ancient King David. I had fallen in love with Mary long before we were engaged, but according to the custom of the day, our fathers had to arrange the marriage, and thanks be to God, they did. In our society, an engagement was legally binding and couldn't be broken for anything. And even though we were still living apart, Mary and I were considered to be a married couple. In fact, had I died before we began living together in marriage, Mary would have been considered my legal widow. We were young and had our whole life ahead of us, a life filled with hopes and dreams, plans for the big wedding day, and visions of this big house filled with all kinds of kids. We had many of the same aspirations and dreams that you folks have today. Do you remember your dreams? Can you recall your hopes? Then the bottom fell out. Word reached me that Mary was pregnant. I can't tell you how painful, how disappointing it was to hear that. It was like someone took this sharp knife and jabbed it deep into my heart. I knew one thing for sure. I was not the baby's father. At first, I didn't know what to do. According to the law of Moses, I could have charged Mary with adultery, which would have subjected her to all kinds of ridicule and abuse. In the old days, she would have been stoned to death. But I didn't want revenge. I didn't want to do anything that would hurt Mary. I still loved her deeply, but she had slept with another man. She had been unfaithful to me, her husband. And so after much thought, I decided that I would just kind of divorce her quietly. I'd send her off and let her have her baby. That would save her and her family the pain, the embarrassment, the shame of this whole ugly episode. But you know what? God didn't let that happen. God intervened and came to me in a dream. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, he said through the angel, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Man, I can't tell you how thankful I am that God the Holy Spirit gave me the faith to believe what the angel had told me. This wasn't an easy story to swallow, even though it came from the lips of one of God's holy angels that went against every fiber of my human logic. But I did believe it. I believed it with all my heart and with all my soul. And let me tell you that because I believed it, the feelings of joy and comfort and excitement that came flowing in over me were just astounding. Think of it. The Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, was going to be born to my wife, Mary. And I was being given the charge to guard and protect him during his young life. What an honor. What a joy. But God's plans for me were just beginning. The prophecy of the Messiah pointed to this little town of Bethlehem, some 70 miles south from where Mary and I were living. A problem? Not for the God with whom nothing is impossible. Luke simply records, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. The God who governs and guides all the events of history used an ungodly and unsuspecting emperor to accomplish his plans at just the right time. Years later, Paul the Apostle would say of this, when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. What a God we have! He controls even the actions of emperors to accomplish his plans for our salvation. So Mary and I headed down to Bethlehem, and when we got there, we found the city crowded with pilgrims and those who were there for the census. And there were all kinds of no vacancy signs in the inns and the hotels in town. I thank God to this day that there was an innkeeper who was sensitive to our situation and Mary's need and let us use the barn out back. And so it was there that my son was born. I can't tell you the thoughts that raced through my mind that night. A barn for Mary's baby? A stable for the Son of God? And yet that's the way it happened. The long-promised and long-awaited Messiah, the Savior of the world, God's Son, Emmanuel, God with us, was born in a barn and laid to rest in the hay and straw of a stable. Later on, that same Apostle Paul I mentioned earlier would put this in much more poetic words when he said, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." When the baby was born, I was so caught off guard with taking care of him and Mary that I didn't realize that some shepherds stuck their heads into the stable looking for a baby in the manger. "Look," they said, "it's the sign the angel gave us. It's the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, whom God sent to save the world." And they shared their spellbinding story of having heard and seen angels up in the sky. As our child grew, we did everything that God's law required of us. On 8 days old, we took the child to have him circumcised, and we gave him the name Jesus, the name that the angel had given both of us to name him. When he was 40 days old, we took him to the temple in Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. When my son was just knee-high to a grasshopper, another incredible thing happened. A strange caravan of men showed up at the house one day. They talked about this star they had seen up in the sky in the east that led them many miles and many months to the place where we lived and to where the baby Jesus was. They saw this as a sign that a newborn king had been given to the Jews. And they bowed down and they worshiped the baby or the child Jesus, and they brought him these gifts of gold and incense and myrrh, gifts that are fit for a king. Mary and I were totally confounded by the coming and the conduct of this caravan of strangers. After they had gone, God warned me in a dream that King Herod, fearful for his throne, was searching for the child Jesus to kill him. So Mary and I quickly packed up our bags and we rushed off to Egypt, where we lived for a couple of years. After those years, God sent an angel to speak to me in a dream, and the angel said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So once again, we packed up our things and we hit the road, but because Herod's son was now ruling in Judea, we chose to go back to Nazareth to the north, and that's where we settled. It was there that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. When Jesus reached the age of 12, Mary and I took him along with us to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And I was amazed at how Jesus seemed so at home in the temple at Jerusalem. I think you recall the story. The festival was over, so we headed back home to Nazareth and had gotten about a day's journey, thinking that Jesus was off with his teenage friends, when we realized he wasn't there. So we rushed back to Jerusalem and searched for a whole day, and you know where we found him? We found him in the temple courts. He was sitting among the teachers of the law, listening to them and asking them questions. And when Mary and I asked him about his behavior, he gently reminded us who he was and why he was here by asking Mary, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" I didn't live to see Jesus suffer and die. And to be honest with you, I have mixed emotions about that. But there were words spoken by Simeon, who will be your guest preacher next weekend, that haunted me for many years. As Simeon held the baby Jesus in his arms in the temple in Jerusalem, he looked straight at Mary, my wife, and he said, "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." One of your artists has painted a picture of the Nativity. It's of the manger with the shadow of a cross superimposed on it. What the painter is depicting is that you cannot celebrate the birth of my son, God's son, without looking ahead to see his death on Calvary's cross. You see, Jesus was born to live, to suffer, and to die, and then to rise again for the whole sins of all the sins of the world, for your sins and for my sins. That was the purpose of his coming. And that's what gives meaning to your celebration of his birth today. My friends, when it comes to things like eternity and forgiveness and peace and purpose and truth, look to the manger and look beyond the manger to the cross. Celebrate the coming into the world of God's own Son, your Savior, the Messiah, the Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, the one who came to destroy the devil's work, the one who came to restore peace between God and you, who came to reconcile you and the Father as one. What's really incredible is that I've seen him again. After he rose from the dead and ascended back into heaven, he and I enjoyed a family reunion like you wouldn't believe. It was in his real Father's house, a home that he's prepared for you and for me and for all of those who have loved him and believed in him throughout history. Because of Jesus' person, and because of his work, there's a room reserved for you and for me in heaven right now. Take it from me, the silent saint of Christmas. You will be blessed, truly blessed, if you pause to ponder the person of that baby born in Bethlehem so many years ago. Take some time today, some peaceful time, some prayerful time, to welcome him anew as your Savior and your God. Believe in him, rejoice in him, worship and adore him, commit to spending your life living for him, and then share him with others. For it is he who came to be like you, that you would be like him forever and ever. Amen.